Thank you, Serge. I don't know if you realize the power of that song to me. It takes me down memory lane. This is my mother's favorite song, and she would sing it as she drove. And you can ask any of our grandchildren, any of my brother's children, my niece's nephews. Yeah. Trust and obey. And it hasn't changed. It's true. It's still the same. I'd like to thank you all for your prayers. I was thinking this is the 20th today? Something like that? 21st? No, 20th. Whatever date it is. Is it the 20th? 23rd, by the time goes. But anyway, a month ago, I was with my brother-in-law in COVID in Lancaster General Hospital, and I realized Wednesday night that I did not give an update. It's amazing. God has been very good from the standpoint that my brother-in-law went from the hospital to ventilator to rehab, and he's home again in 1 month. He's home again. And I think there's a lot of things that transpired in that, and I'm not going to go into details with that because it could bore you probably. But I do know that being in the hospital for every day for a week or so, and then losing my voice, getting a cough, and all that that goes with that. I still had my taste and smell, by the way. It helped me realize that we're all susceptible to being sick. And right now, there are people that are not here today because they're sick. And we want to thank God for the health that we have. We take our health for granted too many times. And God is good. I would like to start out with prayer. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you again this morning. We thank you, Father, for this privilege we have of gathering in this way without the fear of the authorities. We thank you, Father, for a warm building, for healthy bodies. We just are so grateful, Father, for all you've done. We pray for those that are not as well. We know that there are people who are coughing and who are having headaches and who have fevers. We pray that you might just heal them according to your will, Father. And we especially pray right now that you might bless this time of sharing. Father, I am a needy creature and I need your help. I need your leading of your spirit. We pray that you might fill me right now, help me be able to share the truths that you want me to share. And we ask that your spirit would move among this body right now and that each one of us would focus on you and realize that you love us and you have a purpose and a plan and your will is in the word, and help us, Father, to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The Gerald said that Jesus is Lord of your life. I'm a little bit of a teacher, and I am going to, this morning we're going to do something a little different from the standpoint I want to test your memory, your remembrance, and I'm just going to stretch it, hopefully enough that you can retain something. Can someone tell me what our acronym for this word is? Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Okay, this is stretch. Jesus Christ is Lord because he's your leader. Jesus Christ is Lord because he's your organizer. Jesus Christ is your Lord because he is your redeemer. and Jesus Christ is your Lord because he's your deliverer. Like right now, if you failed this week, you can go back to Jesus and he'll deliver you out of whatever problem you're in. So Gerald asked the question or the thought, is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? I just wanted to refresh that in your memory. Now, since remember means to recall, I have an advantage because I'm supposedly the teacher. The questions. To remember is to be able to bring to one's mind something one has seen, known, heard, or experienced. Who was here last Sunday? Oh, come on. All right. Now, who preached last Sunday? Luke Bennett. Okay. Luke Bennett preached last Sunday. And how many messages did he have? Two. All right. Now, can you tell me close to what his message titles are? The first one in the morning. It was technology. Yes, that is correct. If I remember right, he gave this title. The first in the morning, he says, Exactly. It was the addictive nature of electronics, the addiction. And I was so blessed by that. And he brought out this idea of God and me, and we had this relationship. And he said that the world has this relationship. You remember that? And he took us to Exodus. And in Exodus, he said they were dealing with an idol. Remember when Moses went up in the mountain and he didn't come back? And he gave us three things that pertain to an idol. I would like you to tell me what they are. First one. What? Nope. First one was, it was gold. He said, give me your gold. Give me your gold. And it's money. And then we came into the time. Then it took all this time to mold this calf and all this stuff. And what was the last one? Worship or frivolity. You know, they were naked. They were doing all sorts of stupid stuff. And then he said, those three characteristics are idol worship. And I was so impressed by that. That's the same thing that can happen to a cell phone. It takes money. It takes your time. And you get a big kick out of it. You get a lot of, you know, supposedly fun out of this thing. And it can become the idol which destroys this relationship between us and God. Because I have always said anything that becomes between us and God is an idol. That could be your wife. That could be your job. That could be your education. That could even be your church. Does that sound strange? But no, we need a personal relationship with Jesus, with God, through Jesus Christ, so that we can have this oneness and we understand why we're here. I was made to think, when I was a teenager, we were talking about this at brothers' meeting. We're hoping to have every once in a while having 13-year-old boys welcome to come to brothers' meeting. And that was approved, if I remember right, like once a quarter. And I remember when I was 13, these questions crossed my mind. Why am I here? And what's life all about? And as a 13-year-old, they were pretty strong, you know, why? And I was living, I came out of a very worldly church setting, and I saw trash. I saw it all around me. And this was in church. And so when I came into a group of people who loved and feared God above everything else, it took my attention. Because it was like, wow, these people, they live what they say. They're doing what the Bible is saying. And to me, that made an impact or an influence on my life. And the question I'm asking you right now, are you doing that? Am I doing that? Do our younger children see that we really mean business with God? Or is it something that, yeah, whatever. I went down a little bunny trail. We're going in this quiz yet. Who preached on the 19th of January? Who preached on the 19th of January? Come on. Yep, that was a storm, ice storm. Now you're in good shape. You got a good memory. That's great. All right. Now, then, who preached on the 2nd of January? Who preached on the 2nd of January? What? Yep, Les preached on it. And what did he preach on? Come on. Thank you, John. I needed that. Anna. The promises of God. God says what he means what he says. The promises of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to really stretch your back. And the reason I'm stretching you back this far is because who preached the last Sunday in December? Tell you what, I'm listening. Yes, Art. Art preached that Sunday. And he preached that Sunday because why? I lost my voice. Exactly. And now, I'm not sure if he had a title, but I have some things here that I really loved. And I want you to get this because I want you to dig up your memory so that this is how memory works. Now, not go into that. Let me go into art. He made some statements. One of them was, are you connected to the body of Christ? And he talked about a group of people. Tell me what group of people he talked about. He'd spend a lot of time with these people. He says it's throughout. Yes, right, the Samaritans, exactly. And he talked about the woman at the well who was a Samaritan. And what was so special about that meeting that he mentioned that was really, wow. It really stood out to me. I'm stretching you. I want you to pull out your memory. I'm not really wanting to tell you, but I don't have all day here. I don't want to be here all day. What did he tell her that he told no one else before? He Yes, he revealed himself that he was the Messiah to a woman, to a Samaritan of all people. That was the first time if I understood right, he shared that he was the Messiah. And how many there was, we talked about the 10 lepers, and there was one gave thanks, and it was a Samaritan. The one went down, and the guy was beat up with thieves, and who helped him? It was a Samaritan. So, with that being said, it was over that same time I came across this saying. And this, I said to my wife, it said, if God's going to do something wonderful, he starts with a problem. Okay? If he wants to do something wonderful, he wants to start with a problem. If God is going to do something spectacular, really spectacular, he starts with an impossibility. I told my brother this past week, that was the Slaymakers. We were an impossibility. And God lifted us out of the muck and the mire. And he has given us something to share about. And I'll tell you why I say that. You know, the thing that strikes me is that my prayer for this country is that God is glorified. That's my prayer. I mean, we have all this political stuff and all that's going on, but God can be glorified when he can work with nothing. If these people who think they are somebody, it's harder for God to deal with those kind of people because they have an air about them. They think they are somebody. I was so blessed by Art's message that I thanked him multiple times. Anyway, then he said, how many reasons, he started out with, how many reasons that you go to church? He gave a number. He pulled off the internet, I think. 28, you're close, it was 28. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to go to church because he doesn't want us to be hardened by sin. He wants us to come to church so we're not hardened by sin. He wants us to exhort one another. We're here to exercise our gifts with one another. We're here to understand that we are a part of this movement of God's body. And those are the things that, like, wow. Now, who moderated that day? That's just a little tidbit. He's here. Gerald. All right. Who had the little talk before the message? He shared something before the message. Irvin. Yes, Irvin. And what was it on? Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. It was on what? Excuse me. And I'm not going to ask Irvin to tell me. Yes, it was on giving. And I was at home, not able to talk, watching this thing. And I was bad. I texted him, and I thanked him for his time. And I'll put it in my own words. He responded, and he said, all I did was read scripture. And I love that answer. I love that answer. All I did was read scripture. And that's a little bit what I like to do this morning. We don't want to get too waylaid. But I do want to give you a little bit of an idea. There's a word that has been going through my mind, remember. And that's what I've been trying to do this whole little episode time, is for you to remember things. Now, I want to give you a little bit of an idea on memory. Our memory is an ongoing process. It's a processor, it's always going, our memory. It's like three stages. It's encoding. The way you encode something is by sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell. We process information all the time. And I think about that. My wife and I, years ago, we purchased my father-in-law's home farm. And in the first year, we had a fire there. And to this day, if I go up in the attic, I can smell the burn. I can still smell the fire. And it brings back memories. And it's just the smell brings back memories. And, you know, I don't know how it is with every one of us have different memories with different things. Just like I share with you, trust and obey. That memory is burnt into my hard drive so bad. I mean, so good, I should say, that, you know, my mother comes to mind when I sing that song. That's how good it is. And the question I ask myself, am I doing that for my children? What am I doing that my children will remember this? And you might get tired of me saying this, but I always say this, I've said this to my children many times, and that is, a wise man learns by the mistakes of others, an average man by his own mistakes, and a fool never learns. And if you can get that down in your mind, you will do yourself a major favor. All right. Encoding. Sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell. The next thing is we have storage. We have short-term and long-term storage in our memory. And then we have retrieval. You got to bring it back. And what I was trying to do this morning was retrieve what hopefully you had stored in your long-term memory. And some of you did well, but I think some of you need improvement, including myself. But my cry is, let's remember. Let's try to retain good things so that we can benefit not just ourselves, but other people as well. All right. I would like to just help us. At the very start here, I'm just going to read some portions. I'm just going to state some portions. I'm not going to read them. It says, first of all, we need to remember. I say God is everything. Remember, God is everything. But remember, God remembers. Remember this. God remembers. He remembers what he said. He remembers his promises. He remembers, you know, when he says something, he's going to do it. And when the other Sunday, when Les had it, he asked about the promises, and one of the children put up, Jesus is returning. That was one of his promises. And I remember that. It was so awesome coming from a child that the Lord is coming again. That's what matters. And Genesis 8:1 says, God remembered Noah and every living thing. This was right after the flood. He remembered Noah and every living thing in the ark, and he brought in a wind and helped dry things out. In Genesis 30:22, God remembered Rachel, and she was the mother of Joseph. Exodus 2:24, God remembered his covenant with Abraham. Psalms 5:105. I think I'm going to read some of this one just to get us in the groove a little bit. Psalms 105. I'm going to read just two verses here. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known unto his deeds among his people. Sing unto him in psalms and unto him. Talk his wondrous works. That is not what I wanted. Oh, okay. No, 8 and 10, same chapter. It says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, and the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. Then Psalms 103, I'm sorry, 103, go to 542, reads like this. For he remembered his holy promises in Abraham his servant. Now, God also, we need to remember who God is. And the best way to do that, we're going to just read a few, six verses out of Psalms 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Remember who God is. He is everything. He has given you everything. Now, in Jude, I like to read just a few verses in Jude here. Beginning at verse 17, says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they had told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking unto the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and the same have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What we want to remember is truth. Truth will prevail. This is what God has given us so that we can have life. Then, in Ephesians 2, there's a few verses I'd like to read there. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Ephesians 2. Okay, beginning verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you see the importance of Christ in this situation? We had no hope. We were the impossible. It's like that saying I was saying, you know, God works with an impossibility to make something happen. Awesome. And so we have to realize where we really are so that God can work with us. And if we don't have that understanding, God's not going to be able to work with us. We're going to be the losers. So we need to remember, you know, what we've been saved from. Now, Ecclesiastes, this is one of my favorite books besides Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. I would like to remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, for the years draw nigh, which thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds turn after the rain. I'm going to jump down to verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Do you know what? That struck me as a teenager. It hit me hard. And the portion I kept out is the portion where it describes about getting old. Your grinders are low, your knees are shaking, and all this stuff. I mean, that section between those two verses that I read talks about how it's going to be when you get old. It's not going to be nice. But the conclusion of the matter is God knows, God sees, and God's here. And when you, as a youth, when you remember the Creator whom created you, and you surrender and you make him Lord of your life, you'll be fine. It'll be great. That doesn't mean it's going to be peaches and cream. In my short lifetime, God took us through some valleys. They were dark, deep valleys. But I hung on to God, and God is still here, and God is still faithful, and I believe God. I remember that God is everything. The thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. He was ready to die. He was going to die. But he asked God to remember him. He was pleading with Christ. And this correlates with this morning's Bible study. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Why remember Lot's wife? What'd she do? She disobeyed. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. And that is, you know, goes back to the fact God sees everything, God knows everything, and what God says is what he means. He means what he says and says what he means. And we need to realize the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to fear him. When he says something, we better do it. All right. We, Lord willing, next Sunday we have communion in the afternoon. And over, he says, this do in remembrance of me. Remember my broken body. Remember what I've done for you. So remembering is something that we must stimulate. If I have a friend who passed away, and he made this statement one time, and it's been a challenge to me, and he said, there's silence, sympathy, support. Now, he was sharing that with me on this basis, and that is divorce and remarriage. He said, silence. If you're silent on an issue, if a church is silent on an issue, after a while they have sympathy for that issue. And the next thing you know, they're supporting that issue. And I got to thinking, it's so true. So that's why we need to stimulate our memory. We have to remember what God wants, remember what God is saying, so that we do not lose our way. The thing I was blessed about, and I appreciated the discussion here this morning, but in John chapter 14, there's just a couple of verses I'd like to read, which was a blessing to me. John 14, I'm going to begin reading at it would be good if I'd be in the right chapter. It didn't make sense to me. All right, 14:26 reads like this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The thing that strikes me with that verse, we weren't here when Jesus was here. We did not hear everything Jesus said. But Jesus has given his word. He has given us his written word that we need to read. So if we don't have it in us, we can't be remembered, if you understand what I'm saying. And the Holy Spirit and the word are one. What the Spirit is telling you to do is correlated with the word of God. So God has blessed us with this opportunity, which previous generations, I mean, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. I mean, the Holy Spirit, in my mind, is such a valuable thing that I don't think we want to lose sight of it. I would like to have a song sung, and I'd like to put something on the board here yet, in closing, if you want to call it that. And the song is in the Christian hymnal. It would be 559, if I have my paperwork right. Christian hymnal 559. And Serge, can you take care of that?
Somewhere through my soul.
memory. I put an acronym together for this memory from the standpoint to experience good memories. It takes moments. It takes time. It's like I said that my mother sang that song often, Justin Obey. And there's little things, but it took time. There's a lot of other things she could have been doing, but she sang. Then memories takes emotions. It takes our affections to have precious memories. And the third word I hear, I put marinate. And I think a lot of times, you know, the best thing we can do for memories is to season it with love. And, you know, it's little things. You know, whether it's shaking a hand of a child or just saying hello or just giving a smile. That is, it's a simple thing, but it's so important. To experience good memories, we have to be optimistic. In other words, think positive. Look in the good things. To have good memories, we need to retrieve them often. Retrieve the good memories often. Help us to remember the good things. And the last but not least, start in your youth. Build memories when you're young. That doesn't mean you can't build memories as if you got older. You get old pretty fast. I can hear to tell you that one. But just because you're older doesn't mean you can't build good memories. Because I feel, like I shared before, that God takes the despicable and makes great things out of it. I have a couple of verses here I'd like to read just for in closing and in challenge. In Revelation, the verses I'd like to read is Revelation 2. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something what against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God." Then over on verse chapter 3. "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he which the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that is livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou that shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. But thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." This morning, God is saying, be vigilant, be watchful. Remember what he has told us. And as we remember it and we live it, the world can see God, and more souls can be brought into the kingdom. So I hope as you go down memory lane, it'll be good memories. And I thank you for participating in my test or my quiz. I try and do that once in a while just to stimulate your thinking, because I think if you don't use it, you'll lose it, and we need to be a thinking people. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we again come before you. We pray that as your word is brought forth, we pray that it would bless everyone here. We pray that it would challenge us to have a closer walk with you, Father. We pray that you might help us to remember that you are real. Help us to remember that what you say is what you mean. And we ask you might help us to, each one of us, to be obedient to thy word, so that you can receive the honor and the glory which you are worthy of. And we thank you, Father, for taking us out of the muck and the mire and bringing us to a closer relationship with you. And we again pray that you might continue to walk, lead us to a closer walk with you. We ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen.